you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, September 11th, 2020. And before we get into this special program, I encourage you, I plead with you, I ask you, stay with us for the next 20 or so minutes, because I know there's a blessing in store for you. We have two special guests in the studio, and I can't wait to talk a little more about them. But with it being 9/11, I'm sure this brings up a lot of memories or concerns or, wow, has it been really, I think it's 19 years since that tragedy, that terrorist attack in New York City and in our country. And so before I go much further, I'm going to ask John Swinford, who's the station manager of WLUJ, and thank you, God, for the technology that this program is originating here in Springfield and going out to our 19 frequencies, a work of God that he pulled together. But John's the station manager here. And in light of the fact that he's a former Marine, I guess once a Marine, always a Marine, has served in a variety of capacities, serving the general public as a deputy sheriff, as a former volunteer firefighter, has served in a number of roles with ambulances. And I just thought, John, it seemed like it would be really appropriate for you to pray up this day for our listeners, for those that serve the communities, firefighters, police, the sheriffs, the nurses, hospital workers, so many public works people that serve on this day, because many of them sacrificed their lives many years ago during 9/11. And continue with this COVID-19 to serve in a variety of ways. So how about praying up the program and praying up the many people that continue to serve tirelessly with their heart and passion?
I'll be happy to. Praise the Lord, Father, we just come to you this day. On this day that we remember 19 years ago, that a terrorist attack in New York City took so many lives and so many other lives in a field in Pennsylvania. Father God, we remember all of them. We lift up the families of all of those victims, Father God, who still to this day have to wake up without their loved one. Father, we just pray your hand will be on them, that you will guide them and guard them, that you'll give them hope. And in this season that it would seem that we have so easily forgotten, it was the police officers and firefighters who rushed into that building to rescue so many people that they didn't even know, Father, and so many of those lives were taken. Father God, we lift up our police officers, our firefighters, all of our first responders, our emergency medical technicians, the nurses and the doctors, everyone who was involved in that situation serving, the chaplains. The first death was recorded in New York City was actually a chaplain with the New York Fire Department. Father God, it could happen any time. Who would step up? I would pray, Father God, that whoever it would be, they would be doing it with a heart for the Lord. Father, we pray for the family members of those firefighters, police officers, and first responders who did not come home. Father, we pray for the victims' families. We pray for this program today, Father, that so many years later, that when it does seem to be such a difficult season, that they will find hope today in the words spoken here and in your word, in your scripture. Father, we love you, and it's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen. I feel like we can shut down the program now. I'm being ministered to, and I trust that you're also blessed. What an awesome privilege that we can go to a sovereign God, a God that loves us, a God that cares for us, a God that hears our prayers, that listens to our intercessions, a God that is caring, a God that wants to redeem these hard times, redeem these situations. Mm-hmm. And thank you, John. Those were powerful, wonderful words. And it's great to eavesdrop in on someone talking to our sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Would you concur with that, Mike? Our special guest, Mike Nichols, is in the studio with us. And I'm going to, in a moment here, have John give a little more of a formal introduction But I'm going to use this word again, John, but I'm going to gush for a few minutes over this book. I don't use that word a whole lot, but this book has ministered to me this last month or so since Mike was in the studio. In fact, when we first met up, he gave me a copy and we did our program, so I didn't have the privilege or the benefit or the luxury of reading through it. Well, this last month, since he gave me the copy, I've read it through. I finished it two nights ago, and it is now one of my top favorites. I love the message. I love how transparent Mike was as he wrote this, as he recounted different stories. Every chapter has points of application. It begins with scripture or a quote. It covers so many different topics. I'm not getting anything out of plugging this. I'm not getting like incentives, but this book, it's titled Short Life, Living for What Matters During Our Few Days on Earth.
Wow.
And it puts in perspective, if you took to heart that you had a short life, how would you prioritize your life? What would you do differently? How would you spend time with family or friends? How important is your relationship with God, and what would be the result? Would you go out and share? Would you get out of your comfort zone? Would you do things differently if you knew or really valued that you are on the earth a short time? And so there are so many wonderful chapters. So last month when Mike was in the studio, we didn't have a chance to read it over the air, and I thought, you know, I have to have him back. In fact, I might have him back for like a whole week if I'm on vacation, and he can divide different chapters and read them over the air. But the book is called Short Life. It's not officially out until a few days before Thanksgiving, so that'll be next month. But you can get versions on Kindle, online, and it's a great read. Trust me on this. In fact, I'm trying to encourage my small group to go through this book. And any pastor, anyone I know that needs some kind of topic or a series, they could use this book. Before I talk about the book and then not have time to read it, John, formally introduce Mike Nichols, because I just am growing to appreciate him so much.
Well, I'll be happy to. Dr. Michael Edward Nichols is the professor of intercultural studies at Lincoln Christian University. He's earned a PhD from Trinity International University and a graduate and undergraduate degree from Lincoln Christian Seminary. In addition to his education, he served 10 years from 1983 to 1993 as a missionary to the Democratic Republic of Congo with African Christian Mission. Dr. Nichols has also served in a preaching ministry in several churches here in central Illinois, and I learned, Dr. Nichols, that you have also served as a youth minister in Greenview.
Yes.
Well, that's real close to where I serve as the pastor at Sweetwater. As a preacher's kid, it would seem the die was cast long before your 40-plus years in preaching and cross-cultural ministry that God has called you to, obviously. And in addition, Dr. Nichols is an author, and he's been married to his wife, Julie, from Ontario, Canada, since 1977.
He was practicing that intercultural relationships early on.
Well, if you think that's something, wait till you hear this. They've been blessed with three children, and all of whom, if I'm not mistaken, were born in different countries.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
They also have three grandchildren and several spiritually adopted children. And Dr. Nichols, it is an honor to meet you and to get to spend time getting to know you here this morning. So thank you for being with us.
And we should point out he has two lively golden retrievers. So Beamer's already been trying to bond with them off of smells that he got recently from Dr. Nichols. And Mike, again, I just love this book. It's titled Short Life. And one of the aspects, I don't know if your ears have been ringing, but what I so appreciated about our initial interview about a month or so ago was your transparency, your honesty, your vulnerability, some of the topics that you addressed. And I've probably said this to, I would say, close to half a dozen people. What I most appreciate about Mike is his healing journey. He is grounded. He is whole. You know, you were transparent enough to share some of the struggles and things you went through. And I thought, this guy's together. He's healed. Sometimes people say things about politicians like they're phony or they're not in that body or they're rubbery, if you will. And as I observed you and shared and have talked with you, I thought, he's real, he's whole, he's full. And I just really appreciate that. God has taken you through a variety of things, and they're in this book and you address them, but it's a credit to God's healing power and your walk with him. So more kudos to you. And we've asked you to pick out a chapter to read, and I'm glad you've picked this one out, because I read it a few weeks ago and I read it again last night, and I think it's a perfect one for all of us to learn how to value people, how to connect with those that maybe we don't even know their names, but we see them all the time. And so we're going to ask you to read and comment a little about this special chapter titled The Dibs Life, and that's spelled D-I-B-S, and Mike will say more about that in the coming minutes.
Yeah, it's just great to be here. Just a quick comment before I read the chapter. I was just thinking about 9/11 and all those people in Washington, D.C. and New York City and getting on an airplane. None of them knew that that was their last day on the planet.
Good point.
And so this is why this book is so important, that we all need, that life is short. Nobody knows when they're going to die. Mm-hmm. It sounds morbid to talk about it, but I want more people to think about their death, because it will teach them how to live. Mm-hmm. And it takes death from being an enemy to a teacher. And it actually motivates you and prioritizes your life. And so thank you for the kind words, Mark. God has taught me that transparency is powerful. And so I'm trying to be transparent as I write this book. And this is one of my favorite chapters, too. Chapter 26 is called The Dibs Life. The subtitle of the chapter is that life is too short to snub people who have been created in God's image. And I start out with Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then a short quote from my professor, Dwayne Elmer from Trinity. I think he said this in class one day, and I just wrote it in my notes. He said, "There simply are no neutral human encounters." Mm-hmm. Wow. And we're going to get into that as the chapter starts this way. Ignoring the people around us every day is easy to do. We walk by so many people whom we don't even see, let alone acknowledge. They just seem like part of the scenery. Can you imagine having this embarrassing conversation with another human being created in God's image, an image of God, when you get to heaven? You say, "Hi, what's your name? I don't think I've met you before." Mm-hmm. And the person says back to you, "Oh, I know who you are. I bagged your groceries, or maybe fixed your car, or cut your hair, or prepared your coffee for years when we were on earth." C.S. Lewis wrote that we actually nudge people toward one of two destinies by how we treat them. In his book, The Weight of Glory, he explains how every contact with another human has a way of helping that person to one of two destinies. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. It is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. Our interactions with people are helping to nudge them toward one destiny or another.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. I just want to alert everyone, this is a powerful couple sentences here. And if you're driving along or you were just zoning out or daydreaming, I'm going to ask you to read that again right at "there are no ordinary people," because I think this is a powerful message that I took to heart. And I think we all have to look at people as immortal.
I love these words from C.S. Lewis. And once again, they come from The Weight of Glory. That's a book that he wrote. It actually was, I think, sermons that were copied about him. It says, "There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. It is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. Our interactions with people are helping to nudge them toward one destiny or another. Next to the blessed sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses."
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's profound, because that sentence right there reminds me that we're all leaders, and we're either leading people to the cross or away from the cross.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. And I love that my professor said there's no such thing as a neutral human encounter. You're either nudging them one way or the other. Lewis said that back in 1949, and it still rings true today. I'll continue on here. It says, "During my doctoral studies, I encountered attribution theory, which deals with the qualities that we attribute to people either before we actually meet them or in the first moments after meeting them. Many times this means negative attribution, when we see something we don't like, maybe tattoos, long hair, dirty clothes, baggy jeans, or so forth. Even though my professor expressed dislike for the constant invention of new sociological terms, I decided to create one of my own. Mm-hmm. I called it prior value placement. Using this term, I refer to the human ability to consciously place a positive value on another person before even making contact with him or her. And we can certainly also do this in our first few seconds or minutes of interacting for the first time with another human being. I believe that this principle is powerful enough to solve difficult problems such as ethnocentrism, prejudice, and racism. It is based on the foundational principle found in Genesis 1, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them." That's Genesis 1:27. This one short verse holds the key for horizontal human relationship problems. Speaking of the inherent value and worth of every human being who will ever exist. How powerful to think that each human is a unique image bearer of God. Indeed, humans are sacred, for we are intrinsically connected to the divine through creation. This single thought can change how we view and how we treat each person we meet in this life.
Now, I'm telling you, listening friend, just this chapter, just that paragraph is worth the price of this book, Short Life, Living for What Matters During Our Few Days on Earth.
Another verse, this one from Revelation, the last book in the Bible, can change our attitude about people's value as well. John writes in Revelation, "After I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" That's taken from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. If we can wrap our minds around the concluding big picture of history presented to us in this passage, we will change how we think about people, because the citizenship of heaven will be made up of people from every ethnic and language group on the face of the earth. There is no place for ignoring or snubbing anyone.
I think there's some conviction going out. It happened to me, certainly, when I read this chapter.
Asking the Lord to change your perspective on the essential value of a person can change how you look at each person you meet on planet Earth, from now until the day you die. Dwayne Elmer, in his book Cross-Cultural Servanthood, tells how back in the mid-1990s, he and his wife spent some late nights on the streets of Chicago. They were learning how to minister to people. One night, walking with an experienced street minister, Elmer noticed a woman at the next corner. She was scantily clad. "I turned to her and said in a voice the lady would not hear, 'Is she a prostitute?'" He paused. I remember thinking, why the pause? It's obvious. Then he said firmly, "No, that's not a prostitute. That's a person in prostitution." His profound statement affects me to this day. When I saw this woman, I saw a prostitute. When Mark saw her, he saw a human being. That's taken from Elmer's book in 2006. Our tendency to categorize people is a natural one, and doing so isn't wrong, so long as the first category in which we place people is human, created in the image of God. I like to invent mental triggers to help me remember important things. Not too long ago, I came up with a trigger word to help me value all people. The acronym DIBS, DIBS, short for Divine Image Bearers. We all know what the word DIBS means. It signifies a prior claim. I have decided to intentionally use this acronym as a mental trigger whenever I see someone. In my mind, I try to say, "He's got dibs," or "She's got dibs." In other words, he or she has a prior claim to value simply by bearing the image of God. This mental trigger has helped me immensely, especially when encountering people who could easily otherwise become part of the scenery, such as cashiers, servers, or store clerks. Thinking in terms of dibs is also very helpful when I first meet someone to whom I'm tempted to attribute negative traits. How quickly we make decisions about the worth of people we meet. Based on a visual scan, we can categorize a person in mere seconds, deciding whether we want to get to know him or her, or even speak to him or her at all. I'm frightened by realizing that I can decide whether a person I meet is worthy of a relationship with me based on so little information. Such a decision is a form of prejudice. Indeed, the word prejudice means prejudging, making a judgment without the benefit of all the facts. If we're not careful, prejudice will become our natural daily mode of operation with people. We must intentionally reprogram our minds with the truth of Genesis 1:27. Every person I meet is created in the image of God. And if Genesis 1:27 is true, then I am seeing the image of God in every person I meet in my life, even non-believers and adherents of other religions. I might even learn something about God from the people I meet. Moreover, if Genesis 1:27 is true, then there are no common people, no little people, no dirty people, and no inferior people. Life is too short to ignore the value of people. This simple concept can change the world. And it might save you from some embarrassing conversations in heaven, too.
Wow, Mike, there's so much to this chapter, so much we could talk about. And this chapter concludes with three life application questions that I'm going to just encourage our listeners to purchase this book, because every chapter ends with points of application, which I absolutely love. It's like, how do we take these divine truths? How do we make an action point out of something that maybe the Lord has brought healthy conviction to our minds and hearts? And this book, Short Life, is available on Kindle right now and other ways. If you go onto the internet and type in Short Life or Michael Edward Nichols, N-I-C-H-O-L-S, and hard copies will be out a couple days before Thanksgiving, but get your copy. I highly recommend it. And we're going to have Mike back, I'm sure, in the future to read other chapters. What do you think, John? It's the first time you met Mike, and it's the first time you've held this book in your hand. Worth reading?
Oh, absolutely. I'm just shocked at all the application here. The second one just grabs me, the second life application. Do some no-holds-barred self-examination. Conduct a brutally honest internal assessment to identify those to whom you are tempted to feel superior. Wow, the whole idea that we're all created in God's image, and to see them first as a human, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm always talking about context, but we don't know the context that led that person to be in the situation that they're in. Wow, conviction right here.
The Dibbs Life, chapter 26 in this book titled Short Life, Dibbs, Divine Image Bearers. And John, I'll do a quick little shout out as we close the program. One of the traits that I think you're skilled in or gifted in, or you identify with this chapter without even knowing it, is when we were at NRB last year, one of the first things you did, I remember standing next to you with the desk clerk at the hotel. You started asking her about her life, how she enjoys America, where she's been. She was then asking you, where should I go and what should I do? Right. There was another time at the convention when we were talking and people were coming up to us, and a gentleman from another country came up to me, and I kind of passed him on to you, and you engaged in conversation and valued him. There was another time at the closing dinner where you were asking a lot of questions of the people at the table, and I thought, John has this value down well. He's allowing people to share, to talk. You were showing valuable interest in them, and I thought, good job, John. So for those of us that need a little work, this chapter 26 is a good chapter to read along with all the other chapters. The book is titled Short Life by Michael Edward Nichols, and I encourage you to purchase it today. Well, thank you, Mike, for being available. I know you have to get back to Lincoln Christian University. You're teaching students in a unique way, I think, through some classroom, through Zoom, through various mechanisms and means, but we'll be praying you up, and we look forward to this book coming out in print right before Thanksgiving. And an e-version is being made available online. Short Life, Living for What Matters During Our Few Days on Earth. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, John Swinford, and Mike Nichols with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.